Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are you ready to praise and worship God? I'm so excited all of you are here with me. Why don't you stand up? Come up towards the front. There's plenty of room around the altar to worship God.
Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Test. Good morning. Now the mic's working. Thank you, meeting team. Well, good morning, everybody. How are you? That's good. Well, I love that you're here. Thank you for coming in. We love you, family. If you're a guest in the house, we love that you're here. We thank you. And we have a special room just for you. So over on your right, my left, we have what's called the Connect Room. So if you're new, we have this Connect Room just for you so you get to learn about our house, learn about our vision, learn about our family. And we just want to connect with you, as the name says. But also, number two announcement. If you didn't know, I'm doing announcements. That's what I'm doing. But number two, we have Discover Class. Has anybody in here been to Discover Class before? Yes. So Discover Class, if you're new, we want you to discover your purpose, your life, and we want you to discover Jesus. So every morning at 9:30, every Sunday, we have Discover Class in the same room, the Connect Room. So if you're new and you want to learn more and discover more, we invite you to be there. It's awesome. There's cake. Not cake. I'm sorry. There's snacks. There's snacks and coffee. I meant coffee. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe we can do cake. But also, our last announcement is Easter is coming up, so we have our candy drive going on. So if you want to bring in candy to donate, we're giving out a lot of candy. How do I know? Because I'm the one who helps with that. So we're giving out a lot of candy. We have multiple egg hunts. We have even an adult egg hunt coming up. I don't know if we're supposed to reveal that yet, but we will have an adult egg hunt. So guys, if you want to seed into this ministry, you want to see these kids blessed, go ahead, donate candy. It's going on this entire month, the entire next month. And will you all welcome me, Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. What a great first service. Wow. The presence of God was awesome in worship. The word was strong and people gave their hearts to Jesus. That's all that matters. Amen. So Father, today we just declare that you are a good God. You are a powerful God. You are a loving God. And Jesus, if we've ever needed you, it's right now. Lord, as the world is going absolutely crazy, Father, we thank you that we are stable because, Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we rest in you, God. We settle inside of you. And we ask that this morning your anointing will increase in the house, that everybody that has a need, you will meet it today for the glory of heaven. And that, Jesus, all the unsaved will come to the saving knowledge, wash their sins away. All those that are sick will be healed. All those in bondage will be delivered. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Thank you for your goodness, Jesus. And we're just going to worship you with all we got. And everybody in agreement said,
save, deliver, and restore. Oh,
Shout it out. Come on.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated. And we will shout it out. Shout it out. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Just to bow down before your throne, see your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Come on, let's sing it again.
I can't wait for eternity.
Join the song.
Jesus, Jesus.
love you, Lord. You've heard me read this verse many times and quote it many times. And I think one of the things you learn, you're never, ever going to stop learning and growing in Christ. Many times you learn during difficult times because you're listening better. The Bible says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We all know that we are temporary. We're temporary on this earth, but we are eternal. Do you remember the time Pastor Rhonda gave the testimony about her being in the hospital? It was over a year ago. She was on the table and she lost 9 units of blood. Yeah, it was a long time. And here she is. She's really just weak. And I wasn't allowed to be in the room. I was in a hotel. And she told us this story after, and I remember her telling all of us. She said in her physical body, she was just tired. And her soul, intellect, emotions, and will, they had her on so many drugs, she wasn't even strong in her mind. And then all of a sudden, she just felt like she was slipping away. And the Holy Spirit said to her, put some worship on. And it took everything for her to reach back, she said, grab her phone, and put worship on. But the moment she put worship on, she said, I felt my spirit stand up. Now, she said that to me, and she said that to you. But you know, you learn by understanding. And Pastor Andre and I were talking about this yesterday at our Christmas party. It was put off for a little bit. Talking about revelation. Revelation is that when you have something over your eyes and all of a sudden it's taken off and you can actually see it now. You understand it now. And through the events of, you know, Pastor Rhonda being gone, my house has changed. It has gone from a home to a house. And I was asking God, what is this all about? And I've shared this before, but that's okay. You'll be all right. And what I've realized is that I love her physical body. I mean, I love my wife, but that's not who's missing. The physical body isn't missing. It's not that the physical body's, it is missing, but it's not, that's not the issue. The issue is I can't feel her spirit anymore. You see, you are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. And we spend so much time procuring our soulish man and taking care of our bodies, but we forget all about our spirit. And sometimes we get into a worship service like this, and I want to remind you that heaven is literally dimensional. Sometimes you'll see me go like this. And what I'm doing is I'm stepping out and stepping in. But you see, heaven's dimensional. Remember Jesus walked through a wall? Remember all of a sudden he ascended? How in the world could he do that? It's all dimensional. Heaven is right here, just through. We spend so much time with our physical eyes, and you know you're there when you stand in a worship service and say, boy, they've gone a long time. Or they sang that chorus how many times? What time we getting out of here? You know at that moment, you're still in the flesh. But the Bible says God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There comes a place in your walk with God when this is not as real as this. Do you remember when Elisha, Gehazi came out of the house, and the king of Syria sent an army to kill Elisha the prophet. Well, Gehazi, his servant, came out, looked up, washed his face, looked up, and he saw all the armies of Syria coming to kill him. And he starts freaking out. And Elisha walks out and he goes, we're going to die, Elisha. Look at the whole Syrian armies come to kill us. And Elisha said, there's more for us than against us. And he said, what are you talking about? And this is what Elisha prayed. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Not these. And God opened his eyes and he saw the angels, the army of the angels, we're more for him than against him. You see, there's a realm that is stronger. There's a realm that is deeper. It is the realm of the Spirit, and God wants to draw you in, and so many of us have stepped back and, well, you know, I'm just uncomfortable there. Well, you know, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. If you can understand all things of the Spirit, you're God yourself, but you've got to be willing to step in where God is so you can get what he's got for you, which means when you start to worship, you see, I think I love worship more now than ever because I actually, when I'm worshiping, I'm in his presence where she is. So it's changed for me. So at home, I walk around without her presence, her spirit being in the house, and I find myself like literally walking around. But I come to church and I don't even miss her. Why? Because where I am in my worship, she is in presence. Therefore, I don't have to miss her because we are together worshiping the same Savior. Someday, you got to do this. We spend so much time in this, so much time in this, we forget the real us is here, your spirit. So learn to step in. Learn to step in. When you die, your physical body is not what's going there. It can't handle it. What goes there is your spirit, man. You can imagine what your grandma is feeling up there, Chris. Your grandma served God for how many years? Probably 70 years. Pastored. That woman's running around heaven. I know her and Rhonda are hanging out. And I know when Hudson arrived, she was the first one to grab him. Heaven Israel, eternity Israel, the spirit Israel. The issue is not that it's real. The issue is, are you worshiping in spirit and in truth, or are you just hanging out? And until you step in, you're just a spectator. But when you decide, everything changes. Because now, your spirit is more attentive than your flesh. Amen. And you can worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that good? That was my revelation for the week. Is that all right with you? I haven't even started preaching yet. 2-hour sermon today, we're out of here. We encourage you to be seated. We have a lot going on this service. I want to remind you, at the end of this service, we have the annual business meeting. If you are want to know what's going on with the finances of the church, you're more than welcome to be there with us. We do not have it live streamed for the public, but it is available for everybody that calls us their home. So if you'd like to know where the money's going, people accuse us all the time. We have probably one of the most elaborate and detailed annual business meetings of most churches. So we want you to have freedom and understanding. Minister McKenzie, thank you.
Hello, family. My name is Minister McKenzie, and I'm going to talk about tithes and offerings. But first, before I forget, because I forgot last service, praise God, you should have one of these cards in your seat. When you find it, can you just wave it at me so I know everybody has it? Look at God. Look at all the cards. Yes. I'm sure there are some extras if you don't have one in your direct seat. I'm sure there's one like in the seat next to you or something. But you should have one of these cards. We filled one out 2 weeks ago, and then Bishop preached last week and it was fire, and now we're back on the same topic. So this card says, what is your greatest need this month? And it says groceries, clothing, or other, and then you can write a description. And then under that, it says godly friendships. So this week, this whole month, really, we're talking about love different, right? And the fact that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are supposed to love each other differently. We're supposed to love the world differently than how they show love. And we're supposed to love each other as the body of Christ. The word says that the world should be able to identify Christians by their love for one another. And one of the great ways that you can show love is by indeed, right? That's actually how we we do it. We don't do it and just go around and saying love you and then never do anything for anyone or never show up. But we show love in deed and in action. Amen. So if you have a need, if it's groceries, clothing, or other, I want you to check that off with a pen. If there's other, you can just write a short description of what your need is. And then if you don't have maybe like a monetary or like a physical need, but you really need godly relationships, which all of us do, all of us need godly relationships, and we could all use more godly relationships, then you can check the godly friendships box. And you can write down your name and phone number on that, and then you'll learn a little bit more about that after service, okay? But with tithes and offerings, tithing is like entering into a heavenly insurance policy, right? So I have a cool little testimony, and I love being able to tell testimonies, especially when it comes to tithes and offerings, because it's just completely changed my life. So my husband got in a car accident. He's completely fine, but this is the second car he's totaled now. Praise God. but when that happened, I was able to immediately, in my spiritual posture, count on my heavenly insurance policy. So when he called me and he said, hey, I just got into a car accident, the first thing I did was not freak out. I just said, are you okay? Where are you? I'm coming to get you. We left. We ate lunch. We filled out the insurance stuff. And I was like, you know what? Whatever. Like, God is going to take care of it. I didn't even pray about it. I was just like, God's got this. That was my spiritual posture. And I was able to have that because I entered into that heavenly insurance policy called tithes and offerings. So the word says that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That means when I was in that situation, I didn't have to stay up sweating thinking, oh, how am I going to get another car? How am I going to take care of this new baby? I need money. I need this. I need that. There was none of that because God has proven to me so many times before that because I entered into that covenant of tithes and offerings, he would take care of me. The car that he crashed was 12 years old. And I'm not going to tell you the amount of money that I got for it, but I promise you it was ridiculous. It was absolutely crazy. It was far above what we ever thought or asked or could imagine. So we were able to actually stash some money in our savings for the baby and then get a new car, and we're completely fine now. And it's because I have that heavenly insurance policy. So that 10%, and tithe means 10%, that's not so that the church can get richer or so that pastor can buy another motorcycle or so that we can just feel, sit down. It's not for any of those reasons. Tithing is so you can enter into that heavenly insurance policy. Ever since I started tithing, I promise, I have not had any financial issues. Never. I've never had one need that went unmet. I promise you, I would not lie about that. And I did not grow up rich. I did not grow up with anything. I grew up with nothing, really. So I had to start small, and now I can see that the Lord is continuing to bless me because I'm choosing to be faithful. So sometimes we think about, oh, well, if something bad happens, then God will look at my circumstance, and he'll just take care of it, I hope. And I'm sorry to tell you, but that's not how God moves, right? God is not based on circumstance. He doesn't move by circumstance. He moves by faith. So as much as I would love for him to look down and say, oh, my hurting daughter, you crashed your car. Let me just poof one into your driveway. That's not how he works. He told us how he works. It's by tithes and offerings. So we have to take that leap of faith and enter into that covenant. That's the only way to do it, by the way. You can't, there's no loophole around it. Yes, he can bless you out of grace and mercy, and I love when he does that. But if you want that, that heavenly insurance policy, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you. It doesn't matter what happens in this world, how you might be attacked financially. That heavenly insurance policy that you enter into when you start tithing and you start sowing, nothing can come against that. And then you can sit back and you can feel fine. But if you don't enter into that heavenly insurance policy through faith, you're the Lord of your own finances. And I did that for like this much time, and I was like, I don't want to do this because I can't do it. But when we put it into God's hands, he can do so much more with it than what we could ever do. So some people are nervous, you know, why are so many other people blessed and not me? Well, I have a question. Have you started tithing? Did you do what the Lord told you to do by entering into that heavenly insurance policy? Because the people who are getting obviously blessed and obviously taken care of, they're not lucky. They did the thing God asked them to do. And it can be hard at first, but it becomes much easier when you see just how faithful God is. So God is not a liar. He would not tell you to give more just because he wants it. He walks on streets of gold. He doesn't need your money. He wants your faith. Amen? So if you're ready to enter into that heavenly insurance policy, you can stand up with me. And we're going to say our supernatural declaration. Amen? Also, if you're done filling out your cards, you can bring these right up to the tithes and offerings bucket as well. Okay. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring up your tithes and offerings into the bucket. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're watching online, hello, online family. Thank you so much for watching with us. If you would like to give today and enter into that heavenly insurance policy, then you can text 84321 and any dollar amount that you want, and that will go right to His Tabernacle Horseheads Campus. Also, you can go to histabernacle.com if you'd like to give that way. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. I love baby dedications, don't you? I love baby dedications, don't you? Why? Because a church with no babies is already closed. Just a matter of years. And so I thank God for all the babies of the house. We got a lot of babies and a ton of new babies coming. I think, I don't know whether they get on a cycle where everybody gets pregnant at the same time, but I think there's near 10 or 11 people pregnant right now, and we're praying and declaring twins in Jesus' name. No, just a thought. We're trying to increase the church. Glory to Jesus. If I could have all the families come forward, please, and meet me here in the front. All the families of the dedication, you want your families to come as well. This is a very important time. Why is baby dedication important? Well, while they're coming, I want to explain some things to you that we do not baptize children in this church. People say, well, I don't understand. Why don't we baptize babies? Well, that is really good religion, but it's very bad Bible. It is never found in the scripture where we baptize children. In fact, I had a struggle one time when I went to a church and they baptized a child and they said out loud, now this child is going to heaven. And I want you to know that because you're baptized into religion doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Amen. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus and Jesus only. You see, the Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not those who are baptized as children shall be saved. So we don't baptize children because it's not about salvation to them. This is about challenging the families. Because let's be real, really the children can only parent the parents and parent the people in their family. So this really is a challenge for you. This really is putting you on the marker. as moms and dads. This really has nothing to do with the children. We're going to pray over them, but it's not really going to be them that's going to bring the transition and the change. So where do we find this in the scripture? It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. And it says this, and she said, this is talking about her not being able to have a child, and God blessed her with a child. And she said, O Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Baby dedication has to do with you and I giving back to God our babies. So important. Why? Because honestly, he created them for such a time as this. They're so amazingly important. And sometimes we forget that these babies, God foreplanned. He didn't just say, whoops. Some of you might have said whoops, but he didn't say whoops. He planned this. He planned this child. The difference between a child that's going to fulfill God's will and a child that is not is parental. If you raise your children in the love and the admonition of God, then your babies are going to know how to pray. Your babies are going to know how to talk the name of Jesus and not in a cuss word. I used to drive school bus. I really loved that job, to be honest with you. I loved driving school bus. And you want to know who was the greatest cussers on the school bus? The kindergartners. The greatest cussers. Why? Because they only did what mom and dad did. They were dropping the F-bomb, GD, Jesus Christ. Man, they were saying all the religious words, but the problem was they didn't know God. Moms and dads, if you don't pray, your baby's not going to pray. You don't come to church, your baby's not going to come. Well, I want to give my children free will. Really? They can't even wipe themselves well. You want to give a child an option of eternity and they don't even know how to take care of their bodies? They don't put deodorant on. You know these kids that are 14, 15 years old, that you got to tell them, take a shower. Ladies, shave your legs. My goodness, you can braid them by now. You can't trust the child to make a spiritual decision. This is your job as parents. This is your job to make a spiritual decision, and that's what you're doing right now. Can we give them a hand clap this morning as they're making a spiritual decision? She lent the Lord her child, and today that's what we're praying for. We want you to lend your baby back to God. He's got a great plan for them. I remember we did that with our own children, and today they're fulfilling God's will for their life. You know, I remember when Pastor Chad, he was going to Bible school in Florida. When he was going to Bible school in Florida, you know, that's really not that far away, not a big deal, jump a plane, you're home in 2 hours. We were okay with that. Then he told us, I'm going to South Africa to finish my Bible college education. That is a long ways away. And my wife and I came to a conclusion. It was simple. We lent him to the Lord. As long as he's saved, genuinely knows God, and is genuinely in God's will, it doesn't matter to me whether he was across the world or not. There was a peace in my heart because God was going to live through him. And today, moms and dads, that's what this is about. As we dedicate your children, you're saying, Jesus, I'm responsible to make sure they know how to pray. Grandmas and grandpas. You know how, want to know who I used to? On Sunday nights, my grandfather would kneel on the front row and I would climb in underneath him and listen to him pray. Grandma, grandpas, is your kid going to ever hear you pray? Or are they going to say, go get me a bud? You love NASCAR more than you love Jesus. Come on now. We got to make decisions here. Because this is not about you had a kid and now you want to be religious. It's about you making a dedication today. And this is the dangerous part. You're making a covenant between you and God today as parents and saying, Lord, I am determined that this child's going to know how to pray, is going to know the word, is going to love your house, and is going to fulfill their destiny on this planet. I'm going to make sure they're not only getting to heaven, but they're going to do it well. That's what you're declaring today. So if you don't want to declare that, you don't want to do this. The Bible says, don't make an oath before God if you're not going to follow through with it. So this is serious. This is more serious than dripping water on your kid's head. This is about you saying, I will do this correctly. So all moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I want you to pray right out loud with me. Jesus, I'm making a conscious declaration today that I am lending you this child. I declare they are yours. I will raise them the way you've called me to raise them. I will raise them in your house. I will raise them in the word. I will teach them to pray. I will show them how to live for you. I will be the example, and you will be their God. I dedicate them today to you. Take them. Do whatever you want with them. I trust you with them. You love them more than I love them. So today, I surrender them back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, simply, I just want to lay hands on the babies. Amen. And then we got a gift for you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Where's the other babies? Here's a baby. Hi, baby. Hi. Hi, baby. I love you. Where's the baby? The baby. That's right, I fight back. We have Bibles for you. There you go. Thank you all. Listen, I'm praying twins. Your next baby's all twins. In Jesus' name, we're going to grow this house. Amen? Amen? I love you. Thank you so much. Can you give the families a hand clap as they make their way back to their chair? Praise the Lord. What a great year God has been moving in our lives. And one of the great things that I'm excited about is how God is transitioning our minds. Turn to someone and say, you got to think right. Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. The challenge is a lot of people think, but they think wrong. Just because you think you're right, don't mean you're right. Whoop, got quiet there. Just because you think you're right, don't mean you're right. Just because you're sincere don't mean you're right. Just because you got good intentions don't mean you're right. You see, right and wrong are determined by the Word of God. Why is that important? Because there has to be an absolute truth that we rely upon, a foundation that is immovable. Our challenge with our world today is it vacillates and everybody's belief systems are appreciated and tolerated. But I want you to know that's not what the Bible says. You're a tough one today. Here we go. The Bible is our absolute. This year in 2022, God has told us that we are built different, that God has created us differently, that when we became born again, we were not the same as the rest of the world. You see, a lot of Christians want to be relative and accepted by the world. But I'm here to tell you today, you've got to think not the way the world thinks. You've got to think the way God thinks. You've got to do what God told us to do. You've got to live the way God has told us to live. We do not have the right to change God's word to fit our circumstances or to fit our lifestyle. Amen. There are people that I've talked to for years that are living with a love, living with somebody that they're not married to. And I keep telling them, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's not nice. It has nothing to do with nice. That has to do with truth. And the truth will make you free. What a horrible thing that somebody thinks that living together, if they live together and having sex together and they're not married, that they're going to heaven. And the pastor doesn't say anything about it. That's kind of cruel, isn't it? All of a sudden you wake up in the wrong location and you say, how in the world did I get here? I thought I was good. You see, the Bible is teaching us that the foundations that are laid, there's only one foundation. His name is Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. There's only one foundation, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has set the Word, who is the Word, for he became the Word and dwelt among us. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is powerful. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, and the bone and the marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word is alive. The Word is powerful. The Word is our solution. The Word is our foundation. The Word is our direction. The Word is Jesus himself, for God sent his Word to heal us. The Word is everything and our all in all. So if we're going to be built different, then we've got to make sure we're building according to the Word of God, not according to man's philosophy, not according to religious mindsets. Remember, the people that caused Jesus the most problems were the religious. They wanted Jesus to conform to their belief systems. The Sadducees wanted, watch this, the Sadducees wanted the risen Savior to believe there's no resurrection. It's so crazy. The Pharisees, they just wanted a show. They didn't really care about the heart. The Bible, Jesus said to them very clearly, he says, you know what? You've made the outside of the bowl look beautiful, but inside is still nasty and dirty. You see, it's not a matter of our outward proclamation. It's a matter of the lifestyle that we live. And if we're going to be built different, that means we've got to do it God's way, not our way. Say amen or oh my. That means we've got to obey Christ before we obey man. That means we've got to obey Christ before we obey ourselves. For the heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it but God? You see, in this whole month, we've been talking about how the house has to be built correctly, that the foundation has to be established strongly, because when the wind blows and the raging storms come, if you're not built upon the rock, who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. If you're not built upon the rock, then your house is going to come crashing down. And Jesus didn't save you to lose you. Can I hear an amen? He didn't save you so you could crash and burn. Christ saved you that you could live successfully and live the Word of God and live blessed abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. That is the plan of God, and that is God's design and desire for your life. But he can't do that when we're not in alignment. Say amen. So here we are. We already started at the first of the month with the house has to be established on love. Matthew declares it this way. It says, for we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. And we must love our neighbor as ourself. So we already established that God is love, that the house must be built on love, not on religion. And this is, again, our problem in the American church. In the American church, there's been a metamorphosis that has gone from literally a household, a house that we live in, a group of people that we consider family, to be more of a religious institution that people come in and out of on a weekly basis and visit. This is a problem because it is totally against the Word of God. The reason it's against the Word of God is because God did not come to send his Son to establish a religious institution. He came to establish a family. He came to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He came to colonize. He came to make the invisible kingdom visible so that Adam and Eve could literally show what God's design was in heaven as it is on earth. This is the plan that God had. But the catastrophe happened when mankind decided they did not want to listen to God. They wanted to build it their own way. And we've got to make a decision in our heart. If we're going to be built to last, I said, if we're going to be built to last. Now, I don't think you're listening to me. I said, if we're going to be built to last. Listen, I'm stubborn. If we're going to be built to last, then you got to do it his way. And his way isn't hidden. He's not hiding stuff from us. He's showing us clearly how he designed his church. Clearly, listen, man has messed up the church. Can we hear another amen? Well, that didn't take you long. But the biblical pattern is very clear in the book of Acts and all the way through the scripture of what God's design was, and you and I being built differently get back to the design of heaven, and the very foremost foundational principle is that God is love. Love, we already described, that love is not just words, but love is deed. For God so loved the world that he gave. You see, you can say you love somebody, but if you're not going to follow through with love in action, then you are just somebody that gives verbal design. But God follows through. God says, if I love you, I'm going to show you. If I love you, listen to us, I love salvation. Because the Bible says that when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The Bible declares that those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The Word of God declares that there is only one name under heaven which by you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus. The Word of God declares, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And when you say Jesus Christ, oh God, I need you to wash my sins away. I am a sinner. I am a person that needs salvation. I can't save myself. So God, I call on your name. Wash my sins away. There is an immediate evidence, and here it is. The Bible says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Word of God says there is evidence that his Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. So there is an evidence to love. When God does something, there is an evidence. When God loves us, there is an evidence. And the evidence is that God's establishment must be built on his principle, for God is love. The next thing we talked about, that's right, we're still not even through the introduction. Next thing we talked about is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That most people don't love themselves. Most people have what we call a low God esteem. Most people struggle with believing in who they are. So what's happened is, and I can prove if you have it or not, if you don't know whether you have this problem in your life, I'm going to help you understand the distinguishing factors. Are you ready? How are you helping somebody else? If you're not, you don't love yourself. If you're doing nothing for Jesus to help other people, then you don't love yourself. Boy, that got quiet. How can you say that? I mean, I'm a nice person. And this has nothing to do with nice people. There are nice people. There are sincere people. But that doesn't mean they're doing anything for God. Only the things that are done for Christ will last. So if you're not doing anything for Jesus and helping building people and successfully imparting into people the blessings of God and being there to meet even practical needs, if you're not doing that as a believer, listen now, the Bible says you don't love yourself. Because you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. So you have issues in your life that you've got to stare at and say, God, I need healing in my own heart. God, I need healing in my own life. Lord, I don't believe who you say I am, because if I actually did, then I would do. I don't do because I did. Because I did, I now do. James says that. Show me your works, but you might not have faith. But if I show you my faith, I'll show you my works. You see, there is a domino effect that happens when we love God first. You see, you cannot be secure in who you are until you know God. Because until you know God, then you can only accept what other people say about you. Some of you have been told since a child you're worthless. Some of you have been told as a child that you have no value. Some of you have been ignored. Some of you have been abandoned. We can go through all the list of the things that attack. Come on now. Divorce. We can talk about all these things that happen in our lives that tear down our esteem. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what somebody else says about you. It doesn't matter what somebody else believes about you. It matters what God says about you. It matters who God says you are. For you have been born for such a time as this. God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. We've got to recognize that it's our God esteem that makes us powerful, not our self-esteem. You see, but until you have your God esteem, you can only live out of your self-esteem, which was established on other people's belief systems about you. Well, I don't listen to anybody. Well, that's not true. We all listen to people. And no matter if they said mean things or not, and you say, I reject that, the fact is it still hits home. That's why you prayed against it. You wouldn't pray against something if it didn't try to stick. You are responding to somebody else's voice. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when we establish our belief system or our esteem upon what other people say, then we're doomed to failure. But when we understand who God says we are, then when who God says we are, we can't fail. Can I hear an amen? If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm a child of the living God. I'm a son and daughter, a citizen of heaven. I am a saint of God. The Bible says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can go through all the list of the God declarations about our lives. And you know what? When we let them, come on, be more than just words, but become alive in our life, then our esteem changes. You see, but until your esteem changes, this is why, listen now, most people don't do anything in church. Wow, that got really quiet. Let me take a drink. That's why most people don't do anything in church. They don't do anything in church, not because they don't have time. Because we all have the same amount of time. We all have the same 24 hours. We just choose to spend it where our priorities are. And if our priority is love, then we will do ministry. We will love people. But if our priority is self-absorption, then we'll live survival. Oh, that is good. I should sit down on that one. That was really, I should ponder that one. That kind of just came to me. Our challenge with the church world today is that so many people are so self-absorbed that we don't really believe who God says we are. So therefore, when it's time for us to act like God, did you hear what I just said? When it's time for us to act like God, and God is love, we can't act like God because we can only act like ourselves, and ourselves are designed by other people's opinions. Oh, I might get saved today. I don't know. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Oh, for those who didn't think I've read scripture yet, I probably quoted you 15 to 20 of them. Ephesians 2:19 is our verse for the year, and it says this, so then you are no longer strangers. Can you turn someone to say, you're not a stranger? You might want to tell them they are strange, but that's your own choice. But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, so then we have opportunity, which means we all have the same 24 hours, and we all have the same opportunity to spend them. You know, the other day, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. I was sitting at the computer. I had an appointment canceled. So I was I sat in my office for about an hour and a half, and I was scrolling Facebook. And somebody asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm killing time. And I caught myself. I said, ooh, my greatest commodity I was executing. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. The Bible says we have opportunity. Let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. What is a household? A household is persons who are related by kinship or circumstances and form a closely knit group, members of a household. This attack, and I want you to recognize that not everything is the devil, but there are certain things that are demonic. There has been a demonic attack upon not only the church world, but upon the world itself. If you are 50 years old, say amen, or older. Now, some of you just lied. I didn't hear any amen out of your mouth, and I know you're over 50. Do you remember the neighborhoods that we used to have? Do you remember, everyone had lived in a neighborhood. And you hung out with the friends in the neighborhood, and some of you got babysat by people in the neighborhood, and some of you, your parent called and says, please, can you go grab my kids in the neighborhood? Some of you literally needed food, and somebody from the neighborhood take care of you. That was the neighborhood. It was a normal thing. But what's happened over the last few decades is there's been isolation that has been occurring. And this isolation is not just something that is just happening. It is literally and now has infiltrated the church, where the majority of church people no longer are considered the church their household, but they consider it a place they visit. It is a place that they fulfill a religious obligation. It is not a household. When I was a kid, everybody was your uncle and aunt. I was so confused. I didn't know who actually was my aunt, my uncle. I didn't know any of that stuff. But everybody was my uncle and aunt. I got snatched up by more people than I could count because me and my cousin Wayne, we were bad. So we'd get snatched up not only by Uncle Harold, who was my literal uncle, but we got snatched up by uncles that I don't even know. And I didn't know if they were my uncle or not, but I know I got snatched. Then I always got home, Daddy wore my hiney, especially from church. Nowadays, and especially through the pandemic, the diabolical attack, listen now, it's not that I don't believe that there was a virus, but I posted something online the other day that was spoken by a prominent man who runs the world, Mr. Kissinger. In 2019, he said very clearly what part of that plan was. And what it did to the church was horrific. The church literally went into isolation. They separated themselves from each other. We masked ourselves. We hid ourselves. And we literally flew right into the demonic's plan. What do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? Listen, I believe it was a real virus. I believe people really did die from the virus. But the fact is that the plan that was plotted, that was even greater, was that the church no longer would be a household. The church no longer would be a family. We would have to be isolated from each other, separated from each other. Therefore, when you take a group of people with one heart and with one mind, you have what's called synergy. The devil destroyed the synergy of the church because he destroyed the mindset of the household of faith. And literally what happened, people went into survival mode, which means they no longer love people. They just want to protect themselves. That's exactly what happened. Our problem with that is, the Bible says that we will love God first, we must love ourselves, and then we love others. And the word here says that we all have opportunity. And the opportunity is to do good to everyone, but especially to the household of faith. So what's happened to the church is, we don't take care of anybody by ourselves. Somebody needs something, we hide until they stop posting it on Facebook. True, isn't it? They want to help as long as it's convenient. Doesn't put them out. Money? I got to take care of myself. What's happened is the church has been discombobulated to the position where we're no longer doing good even to the household of faith. That means the foundation's been shifted. It's been shifted away from love. Shifted to selfishness. Selfishness means that our soul has taken over and our spirit is now submitted. And we've got to make a shift. Can I hear an amen? Turn to somebody and say, I've been built different. Tell somebody, I've been built different. I will love God first. I will love myself. And I will love other people. But if you're not helping anybody else, you know you don't love yourself. One thing that I love about my wife is that when Hudson was down in New York City, Bridget called my wife and said, I need you down here now. And what did my wife do? She called Katie. Katie, you ready to drive? And they went down to New York City. Was it just once or more than once? Twice. Down to New York City. That's 3 hours one way, 3.5 hours one way. 4 hours one way, just to do one thing. Just to hug and pray for the child. I'll be honest with you. She loves stronger than I ever loved. We went to Rochester multiple times, be there for Hudson. And I'm excited to say, I believe Pastor Rhonda was the first one that snatched up Hudson when he entered into heaven. She loved that child. But here we have something that's powerful. You see, you can gauge whether you really love yourself by are you loving other people. And if you're not, the heart is desperately wicked. Who could know it, the Bible says, but God. We've got to get back and say to ourselves, Jesus, where am I missing it? God, where is something going wrong? Where is it that in myself I don't love who you say I am? Because I know if your love is established in my spirit, man, come on now, God, I know that if I truly believe who you say I am, that God, out of me, I don't even have to make it work. I don't even have to make it happen. I don't even have to do effort. It is going to be a flow out of me, for out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. So there's issues that the body of Christ, we need to address, but we don't like to address because we don't like to talk about it. And we don't like to go to churches if the pastor talks about it because that makes me uncomfortable. And I'd rather just be comfortable. Give me a 30-minute fine, nice little sermonette that I can go home and say, boy, that was pretty. And on Tuesday, you don't even remember what he said. I want to be offended by the word of God. I want God to get in my face. I want God to say, hey, this is the way, walk ye in it. But you can't walk in the way of God if you're not going to listen to the word of God. And the word of God is clear. If you love God and you love yourself, you're going to have opportunity to love other people. But if you're only doing your own thing and doing your own stuff, then you don't love yourself. You got to get back to God. See, because you don't get love because you're you. You get love because of who God says in you. And then out of you shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, that's good preaching. This is action. And this is modeled in the New Testament all over the place. I just want to throw you a few, right? How about Jesus when he was getting ready to feed the 5,000? Here he is, man. 3 days he's preaching the gospel. 3 days he's working. Now listen, this 5,000 men, it doesn't count women and children. There's no sound system. He doesn't have a bullhorn. Hey. No. This is Jesus preaching. For 3 days, he's preaching the gospel. These people, at least 10,000 people are following him all over as he's preaching the gospel. And this was the heart of Christ. You ready? This was the heart of Christ. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on their way. Do you know Jesus fed them spiritually for 3 days? He fed them the Father for 3 days. He fed them the manna from heaven for 3 days. But he said, I am unwilling to send them away because I don't want their flesh to be weak and for them to crash and burn. Jesus not only cares about your spirit, he cares about your body. He not only cares about your body, he cares about your soul, your intellect, and your emotion and will. And you see, Christ was so compassionate that he said, now listen now, I've got to do good for these folks. And then he performed a miracle that fed them all, and they gathered up baskets of food afterwards. How about this one? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, 35 through 40, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked. Now, I don't want to see that thing, you know, just... I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous, shout the righteous. Who's that? That's you. Then the righteous will answer Jesus saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them. Truly I say to you, as you did to one of these least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Do you know what the word brothers mean? It means the same womb. When you got born again, baby, the Bible says, as Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, Jesus looked at him and said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus saying, well, that don't make sense. You mean I got to go back into my mother's womb and then be rebirthed? That doesn't make sense. And Jesus said, no. And he explained to him the spiritual principles of salvation. Here we have Jesus explaining the womb, the spiritual womb called salvation. But then there is a delivery. Can I hear an amen? And what I love is that's the evidence. The evidence is the delivery that you have a child in the womb. And when you and I are birthed, the Bible then says that we've been given the right to be called children of God. That now we are the family of God. That now we are in the household of God. That now we are in the same place. And our Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, who is a good Father, is now no more than, he's no longer just a religious icon, but he's literally our Abba Father. Everything changes. And the Lord said, whatever you do to the least of these that came from my womb, you've done to me. So do you see this diabolical thing? When the church stops taking care of its own, when the church stops ministering to each other, when the church stops taking care of the family, not religion, when the church stops, then we literally abandon the womb. And the problem with that is that that is what the world sees. The Bible says they shall know us by our love. If we can't take care of each other, how are we ever going to take care of them? Oh, got quiet in the house. Say amen or oh my. Listen, if this hurting, just pick your feet up. Amen. You see, this is the plan of God. How about this? How about Jesus? Oh, man, I was like 3 days ago, you know, I'm pondering and mulling the ministry of what we're going to do this morning, you know, and all of a sudden, Jesus said, I took care of my own. I said, what? He said, I took care of my household. I said, what do you mean? He said, go over to John. So I jumped over to John 19, and this is when Jesus is where? Jesus is on the cross. Watch now. 5 to 7 inch spikes going through his wrists. 5 to 7 inch spike going through his feet. He's hanging on a cross, butt naked. A crown of thorns, 2-inch thorns driven down on his head. His back so bloody and martyred and beaten down that you could see his bowels from the exterior. His face being punched, his beard being ripped out, spit on his face. And he's hanging there. This is what he did. You ready? Stinking cool, man. I love this stuff. Jesus looked and he said, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Do you know Jesus had other brothers and sisters? But they weren't believers yet. He took care of home with home. John, his beloved disciple. This is now your mother. This is now your son. You see, when we don't take care of, if Jesus did it, maybe we got to do it. If we don't take care of our own, if we're just always popping in and out of our religious institution, but never, it's never a family, it's never a home, it's never God's household, it's never, come on now, family, then we're a people that literally would never hand, come on now, we'd never hand our mother over to John, we'd hand it over to James, who at that point wasn't born again. How about in the book of Acts? Acts 4, 34 through 35. And there was not one needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds. I told you it's all about money. Brought all the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed as each one had need. They took care of the family of God. How about Jesus? Acts 10:38. Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all those that are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How about Paul? 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also I do to you. On the first day of each week, each of you shall put something aside and store it up as he may prosper. How many of you want to prosper? How many of you want more than you got? Not me, Pastor. I'm satisfied. When they offer you a raise, give it, say no. Didn't think so. You believe in prosperity. Or you'd say no. You'd live as a hermit. Well, I can be satisfied as a hermit. Yeah, I think you could. Just run out of food and see what happens. So that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. So here Paul is saying, listen, I want you to, before I get there, I want you to take every first of the week besides your tithe, and I want you to put money aside that when I get there, I'm going to take the collection and we're going to send it to Jerusalem to help the saints. You know what's amazing in the north? It's not as much in the south. You start talking about offerings, people get jittery. Money. Man, what's greater, your money or your soul? So if you can't believe God for your money, then how will you ever believe God for your soul? It amazes me how the church gets all nasty when you start talking about finances. It's not yours anyways. Now that got a little quiet. Do you know in the Garden of Eden that God never gave Adam and Eve the garden? He gave them the responsibility to oversee and tend it. What's happened in the body of Christ, again, this is again what hits the body, is that we think we own our money. Let me tell you something. My wife took nothing with her to heaven. We gave away about 13 bags of clothes. Can't tell you how many bags of shoes. I gave her jewelry away to the children and the grandchildren. She didn't take one picture with her. She didn't take one ring with her. She took nothing with her. And you aren't taking anything with you either. And when your faith is established on what you can acquire here on this planet, you'll have a failed eternity. God's blessed you to be a blessing. God's given you to be a giver. God's allowed you. Listen, I'm selling my home. I'm so excited to sell my home. I've been trying to get rid of that home for 3 years. My wife liked it. Now she's not here. She can't tell me no. That house is up for sale. In fact, I think I saw, I have a ring, you know, one of those ring things. I saw somebody, the first guest for the day. I'm praying, Jesus, sell that house. It's not my house, though. So I said to the Lord this morning as I pray, I says, God, if you want to sell your house, it'd be nice. But if you don't want to sell your house, I'll live there. Why? Because it's not my house. People say, Pastor, you got Harleys. No, I don't got Harleys. They're God's Harleys. And the banks. No. Not all of them. So here we are. We've got to make a decision that I own nothing. Because what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Steve Jobs took nothing into eternity. So what happens is when the body of Christ takes ownership of what they shouldn't, then when it's time to do good for those people, they grip those pockets and hang on tight. Tithes, time for tithe and offering on Sunday morning, you left your wallet at home on purpose. Oh, God, I'm not giving you a dime. Listen, that has nothing to do with money. That has to do with heart. Because if you know God and love God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength, and you love yourself because you love God, then doing good to the household of faith, it doesn't matter. You'll take care of business. Because you know if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Amen. Isn't that good? Our issue with the body at large, and I'm not talking just here, I'm talking all over, is this mindset of religion. We've got to get back to the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. What's the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is we take care of each other. We love each other. Love is action, not words. I do want to give a thank you to all those that sowed to the Rhonda Jean House. So far, I think it's $81,000 has come in. A church in Pennsylvania that I've never even met the pastor sent a $20,000 check. He just said, I believe in what she's done and who she is, and I'm going to sow into her legacy. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to see as people who understand these principles, money is easy to go. Time is easy to go because they own nothing anyways. And true love always has evidence. When was the last time you loved somebody that you couldn't get anything from? I'll say it one more time. Thank you. When was the last time you did good for somebody you could get no benefits from? And many of us are going to have to say, I don't remember. Because you might be keeping it as a card just in case you need them to help you move. When was the last time you loved somebody in this church? I'm not talking with word, I'm talking with deed. You love somebody in this church, and it cost you something. David said this, I never give a gift that doesn't cost me. And you showed, you manifested that love, showing it to somebody that maybe you know you can't get nothing from. See, if you can get something from them, then is it really love? Or is it just manipulation? Love is never manipulation. Love is free with never expecting return. So I'm declaring that this year at His Tabernacle Family Church, such a shift is going to happen because our foundations are being rebuilt. That we're going to genuinely love God. We're going to genuinely love ourselves. We're going to genuinely love the people, especially those of the household of faith. And we're going to take care of each other. We're going to invest in each other. Listen, we're going to lose selfishness. And we're going to start showing the world that this is the way the church is supposed to run. We take care of each other. Amen. Even if it costs me something. Amen? Amen. 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 Somebody take out $5. Pastor, I don't have $5. Well, take out $100. I had $5. I don't know what I did with it. Is it in there? Oh, there it is. Take your $5. If you don't have $5, pull some lint out of your belly button. It means that you ate all your seed. You know what I want? want you to do with this $5? I want you to give it away. I want you to find somebody this week. The Bible says opportunity. And I want you to give them $5. No strings attached. It might be a stranger. It might be somebody in the household of faith. But I want you to be a person that is going to take $5. Why only $5? Because for some people, $5 is a lot of money. Oh, no, no, I'm not talking it's going to cost them. I'm talking like it's a lot of money for them to give because they're not givers. They're takers. The way you break being a taker is turn around and being a giver. You sow the right seed, you produce the right crop. So this week, I want you to take, everybody get your $5. Ready? I'm going to pray over it. Father, I thank you that your anointing is tangible and transferable. God, we anoint this $5 bill. Lord, those who don't have $5, whatever denomination they're holding up, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit into it. That as they give that out this week, as you show them opportunity, as you direct them, Holy Spirit, to give this simple $5, that person that they receive it from, or that receives it, will not only get $5, but will receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit to set the captives free. Give us opportunity when we give it, God, to share your gospel, to simply share love, that they may know that God is good and not bad. We are your representation, your legislative body on this planet. And we declare in the name of Jesus that your church is not in word only, but in deed. We love you, God. We thank you that we can love ourselves because of you. And we thank you we will love other people, especially in the household of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed still, maybe today you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've not accepted him as your Lord. I'm not saying you don't love God, but I'm saying you've never surrendered to God. You've never asked him to wash your sins away. Listen, if you could do it, you'd already be the Savior. You aren't the Savior. You can't change your tomorrow. You can't change your afternoon. It amazes me how many people think they're powerful. You're not powerful. You're not powerful. If you were powerful, you could change a minute in time. You can't even change a minute in time. You can't change how tall you are unless you go buy platform shoes. The question is this, is that do you know Christ? If you take your last breath today, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Hope is not the issue. God is moved by faith. Either you know because you've accepted him, or you're hoping and you're not going. Well, who are you to say? Well, that's not me. The Bible says that. Question is, are you going to heaven? Are you sure you're going to heaven? And if not, I want to make sure you're sure. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, no, I'm not asking you to join the church. Our church don't have membership exactly for that reason. People think that their membership is getting them to heaven. The only membership that's getting you to heaven is that you're a member of the household of faith. Today, if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5, get your hand up. 4, 3. It's amazing to me. There are people that are making conscious decisions right now that will be logged. And if you end up on the bad side of eternity, this is what God's going to say. 2/27/2022. At 12:39, the preacher stood up and gave you the opportunity to be saved, and you said no. God's going to say, I didn't send you to the lake of fire. You sent yourself to the lake of fire. I sent the boat to get you out of the flood. I'm going to ask one more time. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Put them right back down. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, that's right, man. Who cares who's around you? This is about you and Jesus. Man, it's you. Wild part is, man, nobody's standing with you before the judgment of God. Just you. I could care less what anybody else thinks about me. I got to be right for God and for me. Anybody else? One more time. 5, 4, 3, 2. Last call. Thank you. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. Honey, come up here. All those that raise their hands, please pay attention. This young lady right here, boy, you got beautiful hair. Right over here in this corner, we want to pray with you. We want you to pray. The Bible says you must confess. We're going to pray with you. We're going to get you a Bible. We don't only want you to start this race, we want you to finish the race. My wife finished the race. She ran hard, full of faith. And there's no greater place to be when you enter into eternity than to know beyond a shadow of a doubt you ran the race and you won. Amen? So she's going to be right over here. Once we dismiss church, I want to speak a blessing over you. And then we're going to have our annual business meeting. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over this house in Jesus' name that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare, God, this is a salvation center in Christ's name. I declare that, God, it is a place that people with cancer will come and that cancer will disappear in their body for the miraculous power of God. I bind the spirit of cancer in Jesus' name. I declare, God, no sickness and no disease. I declare, God, health and wholeness in their mind, health and wholeness in their soul, health and wholeness, oh God, in their body, health and wholeness in their spirit. I declare, God, that we are going to ravage this region for the name of Jesus Christ, and we are not going to let the devil take one of our friends or one of our family or one of our co-workers or one of our friends to hell in Jesus' name. We will be the voice of heaven, and we will do good to those that are around us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. We're going to start the annual business meeting in 8 minutes. If you raise your hand for salvation, come on now, make your way up front.